Welcome to Endo Voices, brought to you by the American Association of Endodontists, the show where we are advancing the art and science of endodontics and promoting the highest standards of patient care with today's top experts in the field. Now, here's your host, Dr. Marcus D. Johnson.
Hi there, it's Marcus, and before we get started, here's a quick important word from our sponsor.
As endodontists, we're better together. That's why Specialty One Partners exist. We help your practice run smoothly, ensuring your ability to focus on your patients and your future. Learn more about the original and fastest-growing doctor-led partnership organization for specialists at specialtyonepartners.com.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Endo Voices. I'm your host, Dr. Marcus Johnson, and we're coming off a Thanksgiving holiday here in the States, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone who celebrates. And, you know, the thing I love about Endo Voices, we're able to connect with so many people from just around the globe. And today we are bringing two guests together from the land down under, none other than Australia. We have Dr. Omar Ikram and Dr. William Ha. And it's really just an interesting sort of dynamic how we can bring them together to discuss what we call the Endo Prep app. And so we're really going to have some thoughtful conversation about that and really get into the dynamics of this cool app that they've decided to put together just to share and to educate and to unite the endodontic or just more or less the dental community in general. So before I get into a little bit of bio, just welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me. You guys are 11 hours ahead, so it's just it's been a little challenging to get the schedule together, but thank you so much for making it work, and we're here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
good. So how do you guys feel? How's everything coming off the weeks?
Yeah, it's been quite busy here. We've had a lockdown in Sydney, and now patients are moving around after the lockdown, and we've got end of year approaching. So as you said previously, when we were speaking before the recording, lots of patients wanting to make benefits from their health funds, et cetera, and it's happening here too. So we've got sort of a bit of a jam towards the end of the year, but it's been quite busy and quite fun. Thankfully, we're out of the lockdown and moving on with things.
Yeah. The lockdown has definitely affected us all in a certain way. And just, you know, that was Dr. Omar speaking, and he is a endodontic specialist in Australia, more specifically Sydney. And just, you know, a phenomenal resume. You know, if you do download the app is so, complete that it actually has each of these guys' bios on there. So you can read up a little bit more. But he is an endodontic educator, a specialist, and obviously one of the authors of the Endo Prep app. And he's joining us today with Dr. William Ha, who is also, I should say, Dr. Ha, congratulations. You just completed your endodontic residency, but we know that you already have a PhD and that you are well accomplished in your own right. So, but nonetheless, congratulations and welcome to the endodontic community.
Yeah, thank you very much, Marcus.
Yeah, and so you are in Adelaide, I believe.
Yes, Adelaide. I think it's a three-hour flight from Sydney. It's a smaller town in Australia, but it does have a program. I think it's got the oldest or at least longest continuing program in Australia.
Beautiful. So, I guess we'll just kind of get started and discuss what we call the Endo Prep app. And for those of you who haven't had a chance to download it, you know, we're going to discuss how you can actually access that. But I have definitely been able to use it, and I love the utility. It's very user-friendly. And, you know, what was the impetus? What kind of was the reason why you guys decided to do this, and how did it all come together? It's just really fascinating, to be honest.
Well, in 2018, actually, I got a message on Facebook from a dentist who was quite experienced, and they said they'd been treating a lower incisor, and they'd prepared the canal with a narrower shaping file, and then were moving to the finishing file, and they weren't able to reach the apex of the finishing file. And wasn't this the way that things should work in endodontics? And we were always being told these systems work in sequence. And I said, but you know, you're preparing the canal very wide with that file. And I realized there was a bit of a gap in this experienced dentist's knowledge, and therefore probably in many dentists' minds, with regards to the shaping of the canals and what they were actually doing. So then I started this concept of creating a preparation guide. And William was also contacting me and was keen to do. I saw William's graphs he did on social media, and that was kind of in line with what I was thinking. So we decided to get together and make something that would be useful for dentists. William has a whole lot of information on on that also, don't you, William?
Oh, yeah. So prior to making this EndoPrep app, I've been a hobbyist app developer. So I've made some other apps before. And the previous ones weren't related to endodontics. There was one on prescribing drugs, one on braces. I've made basically a referral pad for a private practice. But as I started the program, endodontic program, I started noticing various things that would just make useful or clinical sense. And then I started talking to Omar about that. And then thought, well, okay, there's a need out there for making better analyses, better planning, and providing useful and free education.
Right. And I think it's important to note that you also put together some apps for the AAE, specifically the Endo case app, I think kind of assessing case difficulty and things of that nature. So it's really nice to see that you're able to tap into those skills. And of course, you, Omar, having a lot of responsibility and experience with the social media. I think you are also kind of run social media pages for the Endo Crow's Nest, the educational platform, essentially, right?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing about this app is I ended up realizing that I was teaching from a remote kind of position. I was working at the dental hospital in Sydney, and we had a waiting list, which was huge, this public waiting list. And we'd get new graduates coming through, and they'd come into the surgery and say, hey, I can't find MB2, what should I do now? But I was actually doing my own cases at that time, so I couldn't just walk into the room, find the MB2, and then go back very often. So I found myself teaching remotely and saying, try this, try that. And then I was getting dentists contact me through social media as well. And basically the same way I was telling them to try this, try that, do this. And some of them would actually show me the case afterwards and say, wow, those tips really helped. So again, the use of the app does give the dentists empowerment, but also it's always been to empower dentists, but also to make them realize when they have to refer the case as well. Because it's important to go, I've got the tools, I'm looking in the right place, or I'm doing the right thing as per Omar told me or the app is telling me, and I still can't get it. And now I need to refer because I know that I can't do it. Because I think one of the big problems with general dentists is they tend to see a case, approach it, and then automatically think, oh, I'm not doing the right thing, I have to do something else. And they might not do the right thing, and then they get frustrated with it and cause an error. But if they have got a tool that makes them think, oh, the right thing is to do this, and I still can't do it, then that underlines they need to refer the case. It's always been the interest in the app has always been to empower dentists, improve standards, but also to make them wary of when they're not able to do the case.
Yeah, I love that. I think that it's all about awareness. Like you said, we understand endo is very technique sensitive, and it can be challenging, especially if you're not too comfortable with particular steps. And we know that one error usually will compound upon another and another, and before you know it, you've lost the case. So I thought this was just amazing just to have a resource, and it's also coupled with literature. So, I love the fact that it comes from an evidence-based standpoint. And like you said, we're trying to really promote a standard of practice. And I just was just blown away. And, I follow both of you on social media. So I think it's just exemplifies how we're so well connected and how we can really influence one another just from simple posts, but more specifically, developing an app where people can just access that from their smartphone, find out where they're at within their treatment, and make a correction if need be, or at least just kind of gain the confidence to continue along the right path. So really impressive that you guys thought about that and put it together. In regards to, the app, and how did you kind of get into developing apps, William? Is this something that you've always had a big interest in,
So sort of a funny story. When I finished high school, my friends and I used to play StarCraft 2 specifically. And many of them became engineers. So we'll be sitting in a room together talking. And then coincidentally, I was working for this practice where someone prescribed an opioid. And the pharmacist knocked it back. So I don't know how prescribing is in the States, but in Australia, you have to spell out. You can't write numbers if you're prescribing the stronger opioids. It's just this extra rule, just so no one adds an extra digit or something to the prescription. And it was this little moment where I thought, well, I probably prescribe maybe once every 3 months or something. I rarely prescribe. And because of that, I thought, well, it's so easy for dentists to make an error when they prescribe. So then I thought, as I was talking to my engineers, why don't we make an app? And after that, every time there's a seemingly practical or useful idea that's been put forward to me or comes to my mind, then I started. I talk to my friends who are engineers, and then we go from there. Useful tools.
I mean, it's just an amazing narrative. And if I can just for a minute, just kind of talk about like how do you actually take that from just an idea to actually bringing it, you know, to the public, you know, getting it on certain platforms so that's accessible. Like, what is that process like? And I've always been kind of amazed in just that. And of course, we'll get into this, a lot of the features, but just actually bringing that to production so people can have it at their access.
Well, I think the first step is to whatever idea you have, either try to recreate it with either a PowerPoint or an Excel sheet, or just something that you can practically use on your computer. And then you can forward it over to the engineer, because like if I was to walk to any engineer today and said, oh, I want a guide to find MB2, and they're like, oh, okay. And then you start drawing all these pictures and, I don't know, what I call kites or diamonds. They'll still be confused. So unless there's a PowerPoint that literally explains like the ratio or the position, and then they can understand, they'll move forward. Like you don't need to teach an engineer dentistry. You just need to keep it succinct and literally show everything that means something to them, and that they can make it. The issue is a lot of people approach engineers with a very vague idea, and if you can't actually present it in a succinct, self-explanatory PowerPoint that everyone can understand, and they can't make it. Or they'll say they'll make it, then you pay a lot of money, and then you won't get what you wanted.
Cool. Yeah, I guess I got to befriend some engineers. You know, I have some ideas. You guys have really just got these creative juices stirring over here, so I'll be reaching out indeed for some tips and advice. But, you know, Omar, I mean, I was really just looking through the entire app and, you know, and I follow you. So I know that you're very passionate about education and you post some amazing cases and always with poignant points about, you know, literature to support it. And just, you know, just the nuances of how you're able to complete that case, or maybe it was a challenging one and something didn't quite go the right way, but you're able to correct it. The amount of work is exhaustive, you know, but I love that. It was so thorough. You know, kind of walk us through that process and how you were just able to kind of, you know, say, hey, let's develop something for you can locate canals and put the literature behind that, you know, calculator guide. You know, you have online study guide, just so many different aspects to this app that make it just so valuable to any and everyone who's attempting to do endodontics.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, Marcus. The Endo Prep guide was started first by me in 2018, but we rapidly realized that preparing a canal isn't quite as simple as we might think, because we're all biased by what canals we treat. So we treat long, curved canals, and we think that's what everyone treats. And obviously, lots of people treat central incisors and patent canals and all sorts of teeth that we don't get referred very often. So that took a long time. And then it was actually William who suggested a few other guides, like the calculators. I think that was the next guide that he created, and that was very clever. And I remember him messaging me and saying, it's one thing doing microinvasive endodontics, but if you put a big post in the canal, then how about, you know, you've just ruined your microinvasive endodontics. And he came up with that right. Clever post guide, which I think is an amazing tool. And these calculators are all amazing, but William came up with this clever idea of the post guide. So in other words, you prepare the canal to 2506 or maybe 2504, whatever you've used. And then you have to take the post down, and it will actually tell you how far you can go from the apex before you're widening the root further. Because in general practice, when I started, of course, I just eyeball the case and, you know, put the we had wet films, put the drill next to the canal and guesstimate it. But we've got technology and we've got apps and we've got these ways of doing things now that would that are available to everybody. So why don't we share this information now instead of just having to eyeball it? Because we all know that when we eyeball a case when we first graduate, it's always a bit difficult. And then the MB2 guide came out soon after that. Actually, as I was doing the root canal preparation guide, I realized I was using this technique to find MB2 that we all use, the the lines intersecting, the distobuccal line up to the mesiobuccal palatal line, and just slightly mesial of this. And then I remember contacting William and saying, hey, maybe we can make this as an app. And he got me to do the PowerPoint and discuss this. And I remember the first time I received a trial version of the MB2 guide when William had been working on it. I spent about an hour or 2 hours uploading photos from Google and trying to use the app and going, wow, this is just incredible. Like, I can find the MB2 or very close to it just by using this guide. And I was just blown away that the dentists all over the world will be able to get this on their phone, take some photos, and at least get an idea of where it is. Of course, it's always a guide. It's never a rule, but it's better than just drilling into a place where they think it might be. It's sort of, it is actually another tool that they can just use. And again, if they aren't able to find that canal, then they know to refer the case. In fact, we have photos on the app of showing what they should be seeing. And if they're not seeing that, the architecture of the canal, you need to refer the case. And again, another good reason to refer a case is if you're looking in the right place or where it tells you to look and you're not seeing that, then refer before you make a mistake.
Yeah, and I love that you were so supportive throughout the app, and also made a strong point to say, hey, but you know what, if you reach this point and you're not successful, this is a great time to refer. And I think that's really what it's about, is really recognizing when a case may be too challenging and when to bring in some help, because at the end of the day, the patient must be the priority. But if we can revisit, though, I love the geometry that you guys really applied to the app, especially the, you know, MB2 guide. And it's very specific. I mean, I've been able to just kind of play with it on some of my radiographs. And I even saw there's another feature, just if someone maybe doesn't have access to upload, you know, radiographs to the smartphone, whatever, they're using more conventional, you know, dip and kind of hold x-rays, that they can actually still use those as well and for different aspects of the app. So talk a little bit about that, and where was your thinking in trying to be so inclusive of all dentists, regardless of, you know, demographics or age?
Hey, you want me to answer that, Omar?
Yes, that'd be good. Oh, yeah, come up with all these clever ideas.
Yeah. So even though I exclusively work with digital films, 2 years ago, three years ago, I was working in a government clinic, and they were still using dip and develop, chemically developed radiographs. And like, even though it's easy just to hold a ruler and measure, you know, the length of the tooth, who carries a protractor on them every day? So like, most officers don't have a little protractor on file. So it actually made sense to actually have something for people who, if they don't have a ruler or a protractor, they can measure their case, because you have people who just keep drilling blindly and they have no idea that they've drilled too far until they're perforated. And these simple preoperative measurements make a lot of sense. Like if you're paying someone, I don't know, $1,000 to treat your tooth, you want them to be measuring, not just drilling blind, no matter how good their experience may or may not be. Like, it, you know, you wouldn't have an experienced tradesperson in your house not do any measurements before they started building something in your house. So why would you let them do something, anyone do that in your mouth? So
yeah.
So hence the idea of that measurement thing, because I noticed there are some similar measurement tools online on the app store, but just for general measuring things at a distance or general angles. And I thought it just makes sense to make something similar but targeted specifically to measuring radiographs. And then also we get emailed radiographs on, say, Messenger from friends or referrers asking us about a case. And, well, it takes time to upload that emailed image onto a radiology software. So if you have something similar on your phone, you can just measure quickly on your phone and say, actually, you know, your case is actually more curved than you think. A lot of people definitely underestimate curvatures. And if you can do it on your phone, you have no excuse not to anymore. So I think it's a simple feature. And I think I've noticed on social media, a lot of people are loving the measurement tool, so they can objectively rate their cases better.
Yeah, and I love how you compared it against, you know, kind of what is the standard as defined by the AAE in terms of the case difficulty assessment. I thought that was pretty clever. And what I also liked was, you know, how you brought in, like I said, the literature aspect, and you kind of talked about, hey, if you're not finding the MB2, just so you know, Stropko said it's at least, you know, above 90%, you know, 93% or what have you. And so this is a good time to refer as well, because letting them know within first molars, it should be there. Most times it's going to be there. So if it's not, again, this is a good time to refer. So very thorough, very well thought out. And, you know, let's just kind of discuss maybe some of the other features. I like the angulation feature and kind of looking at curvature. And I saw, Omar, you posted an amazing retreatment with like, on I don't know, I think it was like maybe a number 14 upper left maxillary molar. And it almost looked like it had 90 degree angle. And I don't know how you were able to navigate beyond it and get the MB2. But I mean, these are the type of cases where that application is just so relevant.
Yeah, look, that is a really good question, because basically, when we treat these cases, we need to tell the patient before we start their angulations. I found, as I'm using the app more myself, I'm finding patients who have a canal that's not being treated to the apex. And every patient has a feeling that their treatment has been done not well when they have a failure. There's this feeling that maybe the dentist didn't do well. And I got this patient yesterday, again, similar situation as the one you described, where I was able to navigate the canals, but this patient was actually very upset and said, why was the dentist not able to get to the end? And I just drew the lines and said, look, it's got over 30 degree curvature and it's 26 millimeters or so long. It's a difficult on both counts. You've got a very difficult to treat molar tooth. And that is pretty much why the dentist wasn't unable to reach the apex. It's not an easy tooth. It's not, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He just wasn't able to reach the apex of the tooth. And then after that, I think it's up to the patient to realize that they're, and own their difficult tooth. You know, it's not an easy case. Everyone thinks, oh, my case was easy, the dentist did it wrong. But it, maybe it's the tooth that's difficult, not the dentist's fault. Or maybe there was a discussion between the dentist saying, we should refer you, and the patient didn't want to be referred. We never know those discussions, and they're obviously usually 1 to 2 years in the past, and we really don't know. But just to give them those stats, it creates, I was just thinking about this earlier, what the app does and these measurements do is it creates mindfulness of the case. Step back from the case and look at it and say, if I'm approaching this case, just like William said about measuring angles and everything, and if you're, you know, charging patients, you want to be doing calculations. You should be doing this before you see a case. We've got the technology, which is available very easily on your phone now, to be able to tell patients your tooth has a difficult curvature and a difficult length. We should refer you. It's up to you. And to take the photo of that and then put it in the patient notes is very powerful.
Indeed it is.
I've got a similar story, and it might seem slightly off topic for me to talk about the AAE Endocase app. So there's obviously more to case difficulty than curvature. And in the AAE Endocase app, if you haven't tried it, it's for the general dentist and even the endodontist to go through all the case difficulty. And at the end, if you wanted, you can actually print out a report that states all the things in the case that make it difficult. And then that can be part of the referral form that you give to the patient. And the patient can actually objectively see all the things that they may not understand every single point. But if you've got like, you know, 10 points saying hard case, hard case, hard case, hard case, hard case, it really emphasizes the need for the patient to see an endodontist. And hopefully when they see the endodontist, they really appreciate that this case is really hard to begin with. It's better than just to, you know, see the guy down the road. It's see the guy down the road because your case is tenfold harder than my everyday case.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point about, you know, those patient resources. And, you know, I've noticed that obviously with information so accessible, the dental IQ of most of my patients is above average, you know, especially within Manhattan and the clientele that's going to, you know, kind of look for a endodontic specialist. So it's nice that they can kind of be involved with their treatment. And like you said, from an objective standpoint, to really understand, you know, what are the, you know, the different aspects of their case that may say, hey, this really needs to be addressed by a specialist. Not that general dentists cannot do phenomenal root canals, but just in some instances, you may need that expertise and advanced training that endodontists bring. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to definitely get back into some more of the application, and just stay tight. Sit with us. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone. And we hope that you are really enjoying this conversation. Like I said, endodontics, yes, there's an app for that. And we can actually say that, you know, very confidently, thanks to Dr. Omar Ikram and Dr. William Ha out of Australia, the land down under, who have just brought some really great resources just to elevate the profession of dentistry in general, but more specifically tackling endodontics from an objective standpoint so that we can all just deliver high quality care to our patients. And what I really was impressed about the app, in addition to just the, you know, how thorough it was in its presentation, its development, you made it free. And so, you know, I think that's just another point that you're putting the patient first, because you want this information as widely available to anyone and everyone who wants to access it. So kind of talk about that decision.
Do you want to go first, or you like me to?
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, cool. Okay. So the idea was that we would make this all available for free, mainly because there's such a need out there, and there's plenty of people operating with wet films and not able to measure angles. And it basically made sense to make it widely available and just something that people could use all the time in their practice and not worry about whether it was going to cost them anything. It just made good sense. We've always, both myself and William, have both been into education and teaching all the way through his specialist training, and obviously after I finished my specialist training at King's. So we've both been into educating dentists, and I think that's really what we were both enjoy most. So it makes sense to make a free app so that we can continue that education via the app.
I agree.
Yeah, so the app is free to download with basic features, and there is a single in-app purchase that is a dollar. Or it slightly varies around the world, but it's more or less a dollar. And it gives users access to more advanced features. And I should point out that it's a single in-app purchase. You don't need to keep paying a dollar for every time you use it or every time you want another feature. It's just $1, and then all the features are available. And yeah, like it just means that over time, it gives us a better way to track the popularity of the extra features. And also, like, obviously, there needs to be some level of self-sustainability with the app. Yes, if you had it just completely free and nothing else, then it becomes a burden on us. Like, if there is at least some token revenue and it maintains itself, then we're more passionate about building the app and helping it grow.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, you put in the effort and things should be compensated for that. Good thing it's only a dollar, though, one time. The way inflation is going, you know, those dollars, you got to say, hold on to them. But yeah, so what have you guys seen in terms of, you know, downloads? Are you happy with the way, you know, it's being kind of marketed and people are taking advantage of the, you know, the new app? What are you kind of seeing within that space?
So we've had about 12,000 downloads with about 3,000 from Australia, about 2,000 from the UK, and 1,000 from India. It's relatively even split between Apple and Android, although Android's a little bit more. So yeah, I think it sort of reflects our followers on social media. Mm-hmm. So the ones who follow us are aware of us, and then they know, and then eventually, you know, the word is being spread out. It's a bit, in some ways, it's amazing how fast it's the downloads are happening. And I think if we want to capture certain markets in the future, we're probably going to have a look at other languages. I'm pretty happy with the way it's growing.
I would say so. I mean, I think that after this podcast, it's definitely going to continue to grow. And like I said, it just makes sense because it's really just a valuable tool for anyone who's looking to improve their endodontic game, but also just to have a little bit more confidence when you move forward with some challenging cases. And a lot of us, you know, we have to be honest, kind of still work within our own space, and you may not always be able to bounce cases off another, you know, dental professional. And just to be able to have that peace of mind, I think it really highlights the value. And so, you know, you guys both have very gregarious personalities, and it's nice to see your passion for teaching and education and actually just lifelong, you know, learning. So why endodontics? You know, why did you guys decide to jump into endo? I mean, obviously you made the right choice, but.
That's a good question. Actually, it's a bit of a long story, but I remember back in the day when I was starting out as a general dentist, I'd done a time in New Zealand and I went to London, and one of my friends was out with us. And as he got up to leave the table, one of the people who was working at the practice said, "That guy's really good at endo." And I thought, how does anyone get good at endo? Anyway, this guy became my friend at the practice. He used to drop me home sometimes in his nice car. And he used to tell me, just keep working at it, just keep working at it. Just, you need time in endo, he used to say. You need time, that's all you need. And I started taking more time. And as I got into it, I enjoyed it more. And of course, then once you have a passion for endo, or you've got the experience, you really don't want to lose that experience by you know, going into another practice and maybe not doing any endo or doing less endo. So then I took the opportunity to specialize. And as I was specializing, I realized that education was something I really, really enjoyed. And in fact, now with the pandemic and cancellation of courses and reduction of hands-on face-to-face courses, I realize how much I like teaching. In fact, the teaching is what drives my interest in the clinical work, because obviously if you have the clinical cases to show and how you do these cases, again, with the app, utilizing that to show how that works in relation to these cases, then it really fuels the whole circular education cases work kind of dynamic that really makes my life more exciting professionally.
Yeah, and I should say, you know, you're quite the clinician, very knowledgeable. I think you were recently also inducted into the Pierre Fouchard Academy, so congratulations on that. I mean, that's no easy feat, and that really kind of shows your dedication. Yeah, yeah, 100%. You know, I've been impressed with both of you guys' resumes.
William's also a member of the PFL.
Yeah, we're pretty active people in the dental community in Australia.
Yeah, and you know, what's so interesting is I really love to see, I think you guys have a very strong community within Australia. Not that any place anywhere else does not have, you know, just a strong community, but I love the collaboration and I love just the energy that you guys bring to the dental space and the dental field. So it's really refreshing just to see that we're all so passionate around the world, whether it's the AAE, International Academy, Endodontics, you know, just all over. So really, really happy to see that. But tell us about your journey, William, because I mean, to start off with the PhD and then go back to endo, I would have been just exhausted after the PhD. I would have been done.
Yeah, a lot of it seems some would view it as the backward path, like some like reverse path of what some would do. So I was a general dentist for a few years, and then I started growing quite tired of general dentistry. And so I thought I'd do a PhD in endodontic biomaterials, because in high school I enjoyed chemistry. I enjoyed like maths and physics. So I thought biomaterials would be a good distraction away from clinical practice. And then as I was doing the PhD in endobiomaterials, endodontics as a clinical and like microbial sort of process became more and more interesting. And I sort of focus more on the fact that, well, I like to treat physical disease, remove infected tissue, seeing lesions heal. I feel as a health practitioner, like it is a very, I suppose, pure health profession, because you're not focused on something that is highly subjective. You're not focusing on cosmetics. So like cosmetics has a value, of course, but then there is a level of like how pretty is pretty.
Tell me about it. Yeah. That's why I gave up on cosmetic dentistry too.
Yeah, like it became a bit frustrating. I like to restore teeth into function, as opposed to having functional teeth look shinier. And the other thing about endodontics I started to like more and more was there's this unique, delicate, tactile skill. And then we sometimes forget that our instruments are as tiny as 0.06 millimeters in diameter. Like, it's because when people see our instruments, outsiders, it's crazy that we're using the little instruments to find little spots that the naked eye can't see. I describe it as like picking a lock. I've only done it once in my life, and I thought it was great. It's just this one thing that only you can appreciate, because you want, like, the outside person just looks at you and looks like you're just fiddling around. But when you're doing that, and there's a system and there's a process, and then you achieve what you're trying to achieve, there's this level of self-satisfaction that practically only you and your profession can understand. And yeah, I admire that. It basically speaks for itself within the profession. Like, it's professionals who respect each other's work, and it's something that basically no outsider can understand.
Yeah, you just have to be in the club. And, you know, I'm happy to say that you guys are just bona fide tooth savers. I mean, you want to save teeth, natural teeth. We understand there's no substitute for the natural tooth, and just in terms of proprioception, function, and just durability. So 100%, I'm with you on that. So makes a lot of sense. Is there any specific feature that, you know, you really kind of hone in as maybe saying, you know, this is really something that I like most about this Endo Prep app? I mean, there's so many things that you can talk about, but is there one specific one that you kind of want to highlight for us?
Yeah, the one that sticks out is obviously, I've mentioned the MB2 guide, but the study guide I think is a really good idea William came up with. And at the start of this year, I spent a lot of time helping with that. So the idea of the study guide is basically to create a reading list for students, maybe residents, training endodontists, maybe people who have just graduated and want to read something quickly. So it's basically, instead of going through PubMed and searching and then getting 1,000 articles or 500 articles and then having to weed through those articles, it really directs you to some of the literature that we see as key literature. And also it's broken up into two sections. There's a free section where you don't have to have a university login or a subscription, and you can click on the article and it will take you to the exact page. Versus there's another group of articles, obviously more classic literature, where you would maybe need a university login or a subscription to that journal to obtain the article. And I think that's a wonderful feature because, you know, we all did that undergraduate training where we got given an endodontic essay to do and we had to go to PubMed and weed through all these journals. And really, the main problem with that is not that you don't, not that you shouldn't do that, is that defining what a quality paper is when you're an undergraduate and have very little knowledge is very challenging. And I found that the hardest thing was weeding out the papers that were reputable from the less reputable papers. And so we've sort of done that for the reader. And so and William also worked on this. I had my research articles that I'd read from King's College London when I was training, and he had his papers he was reading in Adelaide. So that made a nice little mishmash of concepts with regards to which papers we should include. And William obviously has done heaps of research in endodontics as well, so that really helped put that together.
Yeah, you know, that's an amazing study guide. And, you know, I had a past episode with Dr. Anita Minasheri and Dr. Rob Rhoda, and we were really discussing, you know, just how important it is to understand how to critically evaluate a paper and really properly assess it in terms of, you know, the hierarchy, in terms of the quality of the study. And when you can really apply that and, you know, just base it and compare it against other studies. So, you know, kudos to you guys for kind of, you know, building upon that and really just putting that literature in a digestible format. And I think it's going to facilitate a lot of discussion. You know, just it's in a place where you can just easily access it and just get into those conversations about how it influences how we practice. And what about you, Dr. Ha, recently crowned endodontist?
Yeah, so my favorite feature is the basically the endo calculator features. And the reason being is I just found in clinical practice as a general dentist that there was a lot of eyeballing, which I thought isn't really good. and so I thought, well, as I'm reading papers and there's measurements or formulas that are occasionally mentioned, I thought, well, it's nice in an academic paper to have a formula, but unless you have the paper in front of you and you know the formula, there's no way you'd apply it. Mm-hmm. And you're not really going to sit down, write out a formula, replace all the values, like, unless you really remember it. It's not convenient. So it's better to just have it in the app. So I have a Joey paper that I published, I think earlier this year. I was the second author about crown down, because a lot of people would say, oh, you shouldn't crown down because you overflare. And then I thought, well, What's the basis of that? Like, it's only overflaring if you don't actually measure and figure out what you're doing, and you just, you know, put in your orifice opener or even like Gates Glidden if you're that way inclined too far. And so I thought, well, it's not too hard to do the maths. And it's just that clinically, you're not really going to sit down for 5 minutes to do the maths. So if it's in the app, you're entering your like likely plan's preparation size. You enter in whatever orifice openers you intend to use, and it tells you the maximum insertion depth you should go before you start to overflare. That's a very simple idea, but like it seemed like no one had ever done that before. And there's other things I put in there that I think is pretty cool. If I'm not finding a canal, the back of my head is like going in chaos. If I'm trying to do a tube shift or was it Clark's technique, my mind is doubting itself. So to have it in the app where it can actually help objectively tell me where it should be, which one is buccal, which one is lingual, then again, it helps. Like all these little things that if there's a heat of the moment and I'm stressed and I can't think logically, to have something objective give me values or directions, I think makes a lot of sense.
I agree. And I think you really just summed up, what we deal with most times is we work under stressful situations. And like you said, when you can just have a resource, I would agree with you. I think that one of my favorite features, just after browsing is definitely those applications within that guide, like the tube shift. I teach residents, general practice residents in Brooklyn, and the slob rule comes in handy so often when they're just trying to figure out, which canal is which, or, is this artifact, buccal or lingual and what have you. And also the gutta percha extrusion. I thought that was pretty clever to put that in there. It's just, I would just encourage anyone listening, please just really take the time to go through the app. First of all, download it, and you guys can tell us a little bit more, successful on so many different platforms. And thankfully, it's on Android. I'm a big Android guy. The utility is there. So why don't we just kind of, wrap up a little bit and tell us, how we can access this, what's coming next. And we're really just so impressed and so happy that someone came up with this idea, because now there's no reason for us all not to kind of fall in suit and practice endodontics to a higher standard of practice.
Now, so, Amanda, do you want to have a go first?
Yeah, sure.
You guys are so polite. I love it. Well, just so you know.
No, there's some really good features coming out. We've got in the works an emergency feature where something we've all experienced on social media, dentist Friday night message, Sunday night message, Saturday night messages. I've extruded this. I've done this. What's the what do I tell the patient? What's going to happen now? And what should we do? We're going to create a feature where people can access literature on this. Because again, this is the thing. You get a message from somebody, they haven't read the literature, but they've messaged you. So it should be the reverse. It should be they've read the literature, had some questions about that, and then message you. But this is not the way the world works. So they'll be able to read literature on this, and then be able to work out what to do, and they can get an idea of what they need to do in this kind of situation. And there's so many occasions where dentists overfill a canal with sealer or overfill a canal with gutta percha, and it may be significant, it may not be, but it's really important that they should read the literature on that, because I think, again, as William said at the start, we're treating patients here and we're dentists. We need to be able to understand what we're doing a bit more. There needs to be this, how I said before, mindfulness of what you're doing and where you're going and what if something goes wrong, we need to know kind of what's going on, because we're professionals and we're the experts of teeth.
That's right. Have a strategy.
Yes.
I would just say, my first thought when I thought of this Endo Prep app was pretty much, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's like, take the steps to avoid the issues or errors up front by utilizing this before you get yourself into something that's a little bit more too complex. And so, go ahead, William.
Yeah. So with the hypochlorite extrusion thing, so with the emergencies section that we're working on, the good thing about an app is we can break down, immediate management, prevention, and as well as diagnosis into separate categories. So should that happen to you, you can go into the app and then click on immediate management, because some of these dentists message us. The last thing they want to know is how could they have prevented it, because the patient's right there in pain. And,
oh wow!
Yeah, and
wow.
then if we give them an article, they'll be a bit upset because they're not going to spend the next 30 minutes reading an article as the patient's still in the waiting room, still in the chair. So it's good to have something that is succinct and you can click on management or prevention or diagnosis, and then it gives you the information. It'll still give you the relevant further reading, but when it's an emergency, you literally just want to know, what the first immediate step you should do, because that does change the severity of the outcome. And it's one of the issues of reading articles, because sometimes it takes a while to find exactly the information that you need. So the idea is with these emergencies section to make it as fast as possible to access whichever information you need. Most people, once they have the accident happen to them, then they're very interested in reading about prevention and why it happened. But for the sake of treating the emergency, I think it makes a lot of sense to have the management information right up front. Because obviously prevention is better than cure, but when it's happened, you want to know the cure before you know the prevention.
yeah. You guys may want to put like a little, some aspect where you can just like tap a button and then it refers right to the specialist, or I'm looking forward to seeing you guys operate in the metaverse, and maybe you'll have developed the first endodontic NFT to like sell for $2.4 million. You know what I mean? Getting techie over here. So in all seriousness, no, this has been a lot of fun just kind of discussing, what you guys developed. And it's nice to really have a legacy within endodontics. I mean, just to say, hey, you know what? We have contributed to this field of knowledge and to this amazing field and helping more people to save teeth and do it responsibly. And so I really commend you for that. And thank you so much. And I definitely will continue to use it. And I've already requested that all of my residents that they download it. So you may be getting some more of those, early morning calls. some concerns, but nonetheless, we hope you won't get those. But in closing, if there's anything you want to share, your social media handles or any other points of mention, please feel free. But it's definitely been a pleasure, and I can't wait to visit Australia. And when I do, I'll definitely look out for both of you and just look forward to hanging out and discussing some more endodontics up close and personal.
Thanks, Marcus, for having us. And it'd be good to see you in Sydney 2026 for the IFIA meeting. We actually won the bid in Sydney for IFIA, so very excited for that one. If anyone wants to follow the Instagram accounts, Specialist Endo Crow's Nest, happy to take questions from anyone regarding the app or anything they might want to discuss regarding endodontics. Thanks for having me on the podcast. It's been a great experience.
It's been a pleasure. You guys brought a lot of value to the listeners today.
Yeah. Thanks, Marcus. Yeah. So my Instagram handle is endopreprap. And if anyone hasn't checked it out yet, I think they'd probably find it interesting because even though the name of the Instagram is the same name as the app, the Instagram page itself is actually quite a mixture of other things aside from the app itself. It's got memes, which I think appeals to most of my followers. And then I do try to post up a lot of scientific and clinical posts where I try to summarize a paper or two in one or two slides, which I think it's quite handy for those who want to somewhat be academic and particularly those who want to be evidence-based. I'm pretty happy with my Instagram account, actually.
Indeed, yeah. You guys both do an amazing job. And if we're looking at influence, I think you guys are easily both above, 20,000 followers or so, But nonetheless, it has been a pleasure. You guys, I'm so happy that you're out of lockdown. Stay safe, Get that booster shot, and we'll talk to you next time, okay? Thanks so much for being a guest. You're always a friend of the podcast.
Yep. Thanks, Marcus.
You guys got it. All right. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in, and stay tuned for more episodes to come down the pipeline.
Hey, before you go, I'd like to give a special thanks to our sponsor.
As endodontists, we're better together. The work we do changes lives, but it can also be overwhelming. That's why Specialty One Partners exists. We help your practice run smoothly so you can spend more time providing premium care to your patients. Receive all the advantages of joining a larger group of dental professionals while preserving your individual brand, culture, and team. Your specialty is our specialty. Ensuring your ability to focus on your patients and your future is what we do best. Join the original and fastest growing partnership organization founded and led by endodontists by visiting specialtyonepartners.com.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Endo Voices. Don't forget to subscribe so you can catch all of our upcoming episodes covering the hottest topics in endodontics. As always, we welcome your questions, comments, and ideas for future show topics and guests. Email us at endovoices@aae.org and visit aae.org for more information on the American Association of Endodontists.